No, last week we did the Medrash that shows a parallel between the different stages of the Paraduma and the five nations. Mitzrayim is the mother of all the nations. Bavel, Parzim, Mada, Yavin, and Edom. And the Maharal is asking, what's the shaykhus? What's the connection between these four Umas and Paraduma? Like, what kind of possible shaykhus could they have? The Maharal tells us the Yisayt. It says the Hatzlacha, the Kayach that these Umas have, is not the same Hatzlacha as the other Umas have. Other nations, the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a physical world with physical capabilities, physical opportunities, physical kelim. And the Umas, the nations of the world, they utilize those Kayachas to either go up or go down. They get an army together, they pay them off, they promise them things that they can't fulfill. They get it, they work it out, they take things over, they have a really grand time pillaging and murdering the other. They enjoy that stuff. And then you want to take them down. So you grow them from within Olam Hazeh. You can get the Kalim to take them down, get bigger weapons and bigger siege machines and bigger battering rams, and then you take them on, and then you're on top of the mountain. And that's the way it works by and large for most of the nations in the world. The Edom, I mean the four nations, but most notably Edom, doesn't work that way. If you know how something works, you know how to take it down. Let's say you understand the science and the engineering of a robot, a killer robot. You know how it's made. You've taken it apart, you put it back together, you understand what the power source is, you understand how it works. Then you know its vulnerabilities, you know how to take it down. If you don't understand how something works, you can't take it down. Edom doesn't go down. The Malchus are Revius. Edom, Western culture, Christianity, they don't go down. Nobody knows how to get their way in the first place. I mean, the whole Edom doesn't make a bit of sense. Ms. Tamazay, you know, how unintelligent could people be that they have this religion that spreads throughout the world that nobody understands? Nobody. No one understands it. They don't understand it. They don't get it, you know. And how could Yashka be God when he's on the in the New Testament? He's talking to God to save him, save his life. How could you talk to yourself? He should be locked up. He's God. And he's talking to God. God is talking to God to save God. Doesn't make a bit of sense. He died. He came back. He appeared to his disciples. They weren't sure it's him. These are people who are with him every single day for years. He comes back. They're not sure. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's not. The whole theology doesn't make any sense. It's all baseless. He was born from a virgin. You know how many deities were born from virgins? They're not even original. Virgins all over the world are giving birth to gods. Buddha was born to a virgin. Buddha's much older than Yashka. He's an older brother. They're from different mothers. Same father. It doesn't make sense. And everybody believes it. And nobody understands what it's talking about. I'm saying it's rather funny, but it's tragic. You know, so much blood has been spilled in the name of this Narishkeit. And they really believe it. And if you don't accept it, then you die. It's like, what is that? What's that all about? Like, what is so important about accepting something that nobody could explain, no one could understand? And the Metzliach. The original Romans, the Christians were persecuted. The Romans didn't want them. The Romans worshipped Avodah Zarah. They didn't want anybody telling them that there's one God who thinks he's two, schizophrenic. One God who thinks he's two. They want lots of gods. They like a lot of gods. They don't want just to have one God. They persecuted the Christians. You tell a Roman, if a Roman from that time would see what happened now, they couldn't believe it, how the Christians took over the whole world. They were a group of Mishigai, and no one wanted to be like them. was one Roman emperor. He got a mishigas to become a Christian. He converted the entire world. Just like that. Abiderach HaTeva, there's no way of understanding it. And you know why? Because it's not Abiderach HaTeva. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvayde b'atzma gave him the Hatzlacha. He gave him the Kayach from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not something which, you know, their ability to rise up above and bring everyone underneath their umbrella is not a physical thing. It's not something which is in this world. It can't be explained by this world. It's something otherworldly. So no one understands. They don't understand it. We certainly don't understand it. Nobody understands it. No one understands the Malchus Revius. So you can't take them down. They can't be taken down. You can't take them down if you don't understand how they got up. Like, what do you do to take them down? You can't do it. Well, you prove they don't make sense. They don't make sense! You can't prove it. They know they don't make sense. So now what are you going to do about it? You have an argument with someone that their arguments defy logic. They say, yeah, the rules of the argument is we don't have to be logical. You can't win. You tell them, okay, let's start with the basis. 1 + 1 = 2. No, it's not. What do you mean it is? No, it's not. But we can't go further until we agree on that. I don't agree. 1 + 1 = 16.9. There is no 6. That's what I said. You can't argue with someone that doesn't make sense. You know, all fair debates are predicated, are based on certain ground rules. There's certain rules. There's no... If I try to have a fight with a Muslim, don't try. I used to fight with the cleaning. We thought we were having fun. We had with the cleaning guy and the yeshiva, you know. He said, there was never any problem between Jews and Arabs or Arabs/Muslims. We lived peace side by side until the Zionists came along. Everything was peaceful. It's all the Zionists' fault. I said, excuse me. You know, he said, the Jews have been oppressed by Muslims for hundreds of years before there was a Zion. They didn't hear the word Zionist. He said, no, it's not true. That's Zionist propaganda. I said, no, it's not. It's historical evidence. There's no such thing. You go fight with him. For the last, I don't know, 600 years, the Jews and the Arabs have been living side by side. That's what he believes. Now fight with him. You can't. The Zionists falsified history. So you can't even bring history because the Zionists made it up. Nikudah, what's the point? So you can't bring it down. So that's what we talked about until now. That's why there's a very strong comparison, or you see that the Umayyads, the four Umayyads, are rooted in Parah Aduma because they share something in common. All of the mitzvahs, you could have a limited understanding of them. They make sense on some level. The human sense. There's human sense. You can make human sense on some level. Even the things that, even the mitzvah called chukim. This farm, Sifrei HaMitzvahs that they tell you, at least they give you some understanding. So you don't understand the whole mitzvah, you understand part of the mitzvah, you don't understand it deeply, you understand it superficially. But you have some movement. But Parah Aduma, absolutely nothing. It's a steer. How could something be Mitaya and Mitam at the same time? It's a steerer. We don't, in this world, we don't understand contradictions. That's the one thing, you know. Mysteries, we can understand. Deep things, we can understand. But a contradiction, we can understand. A human being does not have the capability of understanding how something can be hot and cold at the same time. Think about it. Take a moment to think about it. Try and understand how something can be hot and cold at the same time.
You mean like those patches?
At the same exact time, hot and cold at the same time.
I can imagine like a...
The same thing.
The only thing I think of
when is something that, is so hot it feels cold.
That hot water, but it's not actually cold. It feels cold. It's so hot, but it's not.
Okay, good, it's good. You try to work, go deeper, and then you see. The deeper you get, the deeper you get, you take away all your superficial answers, then you can't.
We're happy and sad also.
Asia can't feel both. Remember, TJ?
Huh?
You can connect those answers, so it's really just part of the answer.
Could something be black and yellow at the same time? Mamish. It's black, it's yellow. Same time.
Blue.
We don't have the kalim to comprehend contradictions? Could something be round and square at the same time? Could something be early and late at the same time? In time, in space, in color, anything you want. Could something be early and late at the same time? It's impossible. And that's what Paradum. Paraduma, because Baruch Hu put a mitzvah into Paradum, where it's mitaris, it's meim, it's mitames, it's atayrim. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to give us one mitzvah, that's a mitzvah from Olam Haba. It's a little piece of Olam Haba that's coming into this world. And it's a siman to us that in this world everything goes into its neat little compartment so we can figure this out, you know. You have hot over here, you have hot coffee over here, you got a hot chicken soup over here, you got a cold ice cube over there, you put the cold ice cube in the hot chicken soup, it's going to cool off the chicken soup, and the chicken soup is going to melt the ice cube. That's in this neat, orderly world. If you want the ice cube to stay non-melted, keep it out of the chicken soup. If you want the chicken soup to remain hot, don't put the ice cube in. And that's in this world. But the Kaddish Baruch Hu sent us one mitzvah out of all the mitzvahs that is beyond this world, where there's a logic that exists that we can't understand. There is a way of understanding contradictions. We don't possess that knowledge, though. So if I tell you there's a number that exists in Shemayim that doesn't exist down here, add it up. You tell me that there's no such thing as a number that exists in Shemayim that doesn't exist down here, because all the numbers exist here. And I say, no, there is. You can't even understand how that number could exist. How could it be possible that there's a number in Shemayim? Numbers keep going on forever. Every number exists. Shemayim is a different reality. So we don't understand Paraduma, we don't understand how Edom goes up, and we don't understand how Edom goes down, and that's the shekhar of Paraduma.
We understand the other nations, don't we?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're also compared to Paraduma.
Yeah, I'm saying there's Madragas. Mm-hmm. There are Madragas. This is, the other nations are not really independent nations. Edom has all the other nations. Edom is a composite of all the other nations. Mm-hmm. Edom absorbs the culture of all the other nations and spreads them. They don't really, they're parasites. That's what Edom is. They take over the other nations and then they spread them. They don't have their own culture. There's no such thing as a, they're very uncultured. They don't have their own culture, they don't have their own language, they don't have their own poetry, their own philosophy. So they captured the Greeks and they absorbed everything the Greeks had to offer. They captured the Jews, they captured everything. They took everything from us. They took, you know, Mashiach. No other nations had Mashiach except the Jews. No other nation had this messianic concept that we're going to be redeemed and we're going to be brought to a higher existence. They stole that from us. They're the only one. Edom. It's Edom. They stole that from us. No other nation had someone that came from Shemayim to give them to be Megal them Torah mitzvahs. They stole that from us. No other nation has a Torah that's divine. They stole that from us too. Why don't you make up your own stuff? Just steal from us. You gotta steal, but you gotta take our Torah, make your own Torah. Just leave the Old Testament alone. We have Torah, and you make up your own thing. Don't call the New Testament the Old Testament. We have Torah, you got Testament. You gotta make up something. Why do you have to take ours? They took everything. Melech HaMashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Mishinai, Tchias Amesim. They put that very much a part of their culture. He came back the first time, it didn't work. He's going to try again. You know? Didn't work the first time. You know, when at first you don't succeed, try again. He came the first time, no, the people didn't accept him. He came the second time, they didn't know they were in church. Him. He's waiting for the third time. Get the message already. Nobody wants you around. Stay in the grave. They stole everything. Edom has everything. They oppose Klal Yisrael in every single manner. They destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That means they're like Bavel. Yeah. They killed Asaru Gemachus. That means they're like Haman and Achashverosh. And they make Xeris against Atara Mitzvah. That means they're like Yafa. Every single thing that the nations did, Edom did. And is still doing. So they're very deep. Let's go weiter. There's another medrash. He said if Edom is deep, and because they're deep, their success or their ultimate end has to come from a world, has to come from a source that's not natural. It's got to be unnatural. So he says, Kal v'chaim v'klal Yisrael is compared to a paraduma. Because how could you understand the Jew? The Jewish people, they defy definition. The fact that we're still around. It's a beferish of Mark Twain. Kivsa achas ben shivim zevim hechi achol eskayim. You have one sheep between 70 wolves. And the sheep is still around. That's something which you can't explain with the, you know, in light of the forces of nature. It's beyond understanding. Davar Acher, so this is the Davar Acher of that Medrash. Para, El Yisrael. Ki kapara sarera sar Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is like a wayward cow. Aduma, El Yisrael, Shem Admu Etzem Itninim. Tmima, El Yisrael, Shnema Yanasi Tamasi. My blemish-free dove. My pure dove, Asher Ein Bamum El Yisrael, Shnemer Kulach Yafa Rayasi Amum Ein Bach Shir Hashirim. You're so beautiful, my beloved. You don't have a blemish. Mum Ein Bach. Hashem is extolling the virtues of Klal Yisrael. You're like a Pora Aduma. You don't have any blemishes. You don't have a mum. Asher La 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 Ol. But Klal Yisrael didn't accept himself. They don't have a yoke. That's bad. The Derish of Yirmiyah, this is the generation of Yirmiyah, that was the generation of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. It's like, Kibul Aleim Eilish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't accept upon themselves the yoke of God. So what do you do with Klal Yisrael? They don't accept themselves. You know, they were so blemish-free, they're so precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure dove. And they don't accept on themselves the yoke of God. Give them over to the Kayin Elazar. Elazar is a composite word of El Azer. The helper of God. Hakayin, Zayirmiya. It's referred to Yirmiya Navi. So Yirmiyahu was from Kahanim. And he is Kael Ezer HaKayin. So Pashup Shad is that it's referring to Aaron HaKayin's son. And the Medrash is talking about the one that helps God. That's Yirmiyah. Vayitzi Yisrael b'chutz l'machna. What do you do with a Klal Yisrael, a beloved dove of Klal Yisrael that doesn't accept the yoke of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? You take the Klai Yisrael out of the machana, out of the camp. It says in the Pasuk in Ezra, Ama Higali Lebavel, the nation went to Bavel, that's like the Paraduma being taken out of the machana. V'shachad Yisraelafanam, then you shecht the Paraduma. That's referring to the time of the Tzidki HaMelech, the last Melech in Klai Yisrael from David HaMelech's descendants. Nebuchadnezzar took the sons of Tzidkiyo, and it says, V'zbenei Tzidkiyo, the sons of Tzidkiyo, shachta le'ignav. They shechted Tzidkiyo's children in front of him while he was still capable of sight. V'z enei Tzidkiyo iver, and then they blinded him. So the last thing Tzidkiyo saw was the death of his children, the shechit of his children. And then they blinded Tzidkiyo. With Sarafis, apparently enough, then they burn the para. By Yisuf is Beis Hashem. That's the burning of the Beis Hamikdash with Beis Hamelach. As Eirav is Besara, they burn the hide and the flesh and the innards and the bloody innards. They burn everything. That's what's Kobata Yerushalayim. You understand, the more chitzanius you get, like the Beis HaMikdash is more pnimi, but you're talking about burning the hides, that's talking about burning the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Kobata Yerushalayim, the house of Yerushalayim, is Kalabayas HaGadol. And the great house, Sarav Be'esh, they burnt the great house. What is the great house? What's the great house? And it's not the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was the actual cow that was burnt. The Beis HaMikdash was the burning of the cow. What's the burning of the hide and the flesh? The Beis Midrash is Rabbi Yechon and Mitzakai. It's the Beis HaMikdash of Rabbi Yechon and Mitzakai. Shasham Hayim Masanim, they used to teach there. The greatness of God. It's called the Great House because it's the house that they taught. Misanim, they learned the greatness of God there. Belakach, and then you take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the wool. Belakach is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar takes the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the wool. So Nebuchadnezzar is taking three things. Eitz Eretz, that's cedar wood. Azayv, it's like a grass. It's called hyssop. I don't know what hyssop is. It's a low grass. Ushni Talas in the wall. Three things in the Avodah Paraduma. And here it's saying Nebuchadnezzar takes three things. Who are these three things? Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Vehishtachal takes Shavas Apara, and you throw them into the fire. First you burn the cow, then the hide, the flesh, and then the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the wool. He throws three things into the fire. Katal hamayin shviva dinura. V'asaf, and then you gather everything up together. Who's that? That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. After everything is scattered and destroyed and burnt, Kadosh Baruch Hu gathers everything. The Ksivim v'nasa neis l'gayim v'asav nidchi Yisrael. Hashem will gather up those of Israel that have been driven off. Ish, it says a man gathers in. The Medrash says when it says Ish, it means a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Parshas B'Shalach, this week's Parsha, it says Hashem Ish Mocham. Tahar, a pure man is going to gather Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'asaf is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ish is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tahar is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tahar einayim baraz bara. Kadosh Baruch Hu is praised of having pure eyes. Is Efer apara? A Kadosh Baruch Hu gathers up the ashes. Elu gal yisem shay Yisrael. He gathers all the exiles. V'niyach ha-michutz na-machna b'makom tahar. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the ashes and puts them outside the camp in a special place, a pure place. What's Makom Tahar? Yerushalayim Shitahira. Kadosh Baruch Hu returns him to Yerushalayim. Vayahisal Adas Bnei Yisrael Mishmeres. And then you save it. They used to save the ashes. Loikai L'mazeh. Not like this world. In this world, the Kayan performs the purification rituals. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kayan. Matam v'zarakta elecha mayim tarim v'tarita. Hashem is going to purify us, not a kayin. In fact, the nafkamin is, it's something that a kayin does. A kayin is very holy, but he's a man. And when men do everything that the humans do, everything. Everything a human being does in this world is limited, because everything in this world is limited. And a human being is very much this world. He is a component. He is a goof. Sure, you've got to go. So when a kohen's mitayeh someone, the guy can go back and become tummy again. Somebody says lashon hara, or he steals, he gets taras, goes to the kohen says it's taras, locks him up. Finally he sees that the taras is getting smaller. It disappears, he takes him out, he spritzes the stuff on him, he goes to the mikvah, he's tar. What happens next week? He says lashon hara again. What happens to him? All over again. The Tower of a Kayin is not forever. A Kayin is a human being. So he's Matar a person. He's Matar a person for the moment. The Medrash is talking about Lashon Lavei. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a Matar a person. That means he's not just going to purify him. He's going to bring the person to a level that he can never become Tummy again. It's a different kind of Tara.
What's the Tsaras in this mushroom?
I was just mentioning Tsaras. Paradumas for Tumas Meis.
What's the Tumas Meis?
The Tumah of coming in contact with the failure of a human being. Misa is a failure of a human being. Bittel Elu Dal Malchus V'chazaras Malchus Yisrael. The downfall of the four kingdoms and the restoration of Malchus to Klal Yisrael are both hinted at in the Mitzvah Paraduma. Because taking them down is Madrega Yen Ma'id. It's beyond understanding how you could take the four nations down. The power of Edom is so strong. Yeah, could you take down America, England, Italy, France, Germany, Austria, Russia, Denmark, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, we keep going? Greece, Italy, Curacao, let's throw in Curacao, South America, this is all Edom, entire South America. You take them all down. How? If Satan bombed Makamalim Oid, they're going down because there's going to be a supernatural Kayach which enters this world. And it's not, they're not going to go down in a way that makes sense. So there's no way of figuring it out how it's going to happen. The same degree of mystery is when Klal Yisrael is going to ascend and be what they were before. It's just as difficult to understand. They're both two sides of the same coin. The Maisa, he says that because it's so deep, we'll never understand it, we'll never know it. And the Mitzvah Paraduma is something that in this world we'll never understand, we won't know.
Yaakov Avinu understand it?
No, he didn't.
So why do we learn about it?
We have to learn that we don't understand it. That's also learning. When the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu saw in his dream, in Parshas Vayetze, he saw the Malachei Holokim Eilim V'yardim Bay. And there's many interpretations of who these Malachim were. And one of the interpretations in the Medrash is these Malachim were the angels of the different nations. And he saw them Eilim V'yardim. He saw them going up and going down. That means he saw them ascending to a position of power. And he saw them going up a certain amount of rungs. You know, the Medrash tells you how amount of rungs. Each rung was a year. And after a certain amount of rungs, enough. Then they went down. So he said, they're going to rule over the world. They're going to rule over my children. But there's an end. There's a certain amount of rungs they have. When they get to rung number 52, they're going to go down. They're going to be in 51 and 50 and 49 and 48 until they're back down. And one nation after another did it. Until he saw the Sar of Raimi. The Sar of Raimi went up and up and up and up. And after he went up, some more. And Yaakov in his dream never saw him come down. Hashem is showing him that it doesn't come down. So Maral explains. Because even though Yaakov was a Navi, and he was seeing things that hadn't happened yet, but even a Navi is limited. A Navi can only see things in this world. Things that come into this world. Things that have entry into this world. The Navi could see. But to see Edom going down, you have to understand how Edom could go down. Yaakov Avinu was the purest, most blemish-free member ever in this world. He's as close to perfection as one could come to. But he was in this world. In order to understand how Edom's going to come down, you have to be there. You have to be where he's going to come down from. You have to be there. And as long as Yaakov had a body, he had a body. Yaakov had a body. It wasn't much of a body, but he had one. It wasn't really much of a physical body. But he did. He had a body. So then he can't understand it. So since he can't understand it, he can't see it. So he sees him going up. He can't see him go down because Hashem only shows him something he could understand. So I mention him next week. I mean, with this shiur, we're finished with the first chelik of Sefer Nemitzvah. And the next chelik, which is, it's a shame we should learn as much as we can of it, talks directly about Hanukkah. So we finished a chashuv chelik of the Sefer. The Sefer that talks about the four nations and the dream of Daniel. The next chelik talks more about Yavan. But before we start, it's a shame next week, would like to dedicate a shiur on this parallel between Klal Yisrael and the Umayyads, that they're both rooted in something beyond this world. I mean, Klal Yisrael, we understand why there has to be. But why do they got to be there? But anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But this is it. We finished Chelek Aleph. It's been quite a trip.
Awesome. What time is it? Did I have to run out? 11:30.